Hello, everyone. Welcome to the April 11th, 2018 Pony Sync call. We'll take a look at some RFCs to start off with. RFC ticket pull request 121. It's currently named structural subtyping opt-out, but I think we talked about maybe recharacterizing that a little bit. But so this is Benoit's RFC about having a syntax for marking a type that is not a subtype of anything else in the type system. I think that Benoit wanted to discuss the syntax a little bit more here on the call, so we can do that now.
Yeah, so since there is some disagreement about using annotation for this feature, I think, as Sean said on the ticket, that maybe we should spend some time talking about what we all imagine annotation should be used for and what use cases we imagine for them and maybe reach a consensus on that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Just to go back to what I said before, I think that kind of the litmus test that I've been thinking of is something along the lines of removing an annotation, the sticking point for me, I think, here was that it feels like removing an annotation should not make a program incorrect or unable to compile, whereas adding annotations might enforce additional restrictions, but removing one should not break the program, and that's kind of what I'm worried about here.
Yeah, so I'm personally of the idea that annotations are a quite powerful syntax because you can add new features without reserving new keywords or new symbols and maybe in the case of an annotation on a function definition, I think annotation would allow us to not overload the function definition with too much keywords and combinations of keywords in different places. So for that particular feature, the annotation would be on the type definition, which currently doesn't contain a lot of things. So the problem is a bit less present. But I feel like the limit that you talked about would be I think that restriction would be a bit too arbitrary.
Yeah, it's possible that it is. I'm definitely entertaining the possibility that it is. You talked about having inspiration from C++ for these annotations, the attribute declarations in C++. Do you know if there's an example of an attribute declaration that works this way, where removing it makes the program incorrect?
I'm going to get the documentation for that to see if I see anything.
Jumping in, I don't see why we should limit the annotations to something that kind of where the removal doesn't break the program. while they are kind of first-class citizens in the language. And so we limit the use cases and the power of annotations quite a bit. So it kind of boils down to some hints for the compiler if we limit it to non-breaking removal. Is that correct?
Yeah, I feel if we enforce that limitation, we will end up with, as you said, only optimization hints and etc. So I looked at the list of attributes for C++, and there is the fall through attribute that will be added in C++ 17. So it's an attribute that can be added on switched statements, and it won't cause a warning, a compiler warning, if there is no break on that switch case. So removing the fall through attribute will cause a warning. So it won't cause the program to not compile anymore, since it's unless you configure your C compiler to treat warning as errors. But yeah, I think
I mean, to me that feels like it's still in the category of like you said, if you're not configuring that that warning slash error to be a breakage for your program, then like I think, you know, fall through is the default of what like C/C++ does, I believe, in like the language standard, and then it just became like, you know, people realized that it was kind of a bad default because it encouraged subtle bugs, and then they started adding compiler warnings for it, and then but here's this way to turn off the warning slash error. So I still see it as being this sort of like extra thing layered on top, where you are influencing the optional layer of enforcement. It's like an opt out of a certain linting feature that's there. I mean, so just to talk a little bit about where my concern comes from, I worry that this annotation proposed in the RFC, if we move forward with it, it means that like the type alone of, it's like we need a, how do I express this? This feature that we're talking about is a really important intrinsic part of like the type system, to say that like, you know, here is a type that is not a subtype of anything else. And putting it in an annotation feels like it's, I understand that annotations are first class, but I don't know, to me in a certain way they aren't, because they just feel like things that are like tacked on to existing AST to like give guidance, or I don't know, it feels like something that is this big in the type system should have its own syntax and should not be an annotation. I guess in the end, like my concern is still subjective, right? It's not, and yes, it could be seen as arbitrary. It just, I don't know, it worries me that the annotation now has to be part of the like type that we carry around in the compiler and say, okay, we have this type, but it has this annotation attached, so you have to take this special case for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're kind of right. Like, annotations are kind of on a meta level thing. Like, Yeah, like an attribute to an AST thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like
meta programming or something.
Benoit, in the implementation of this that you're thinking of, what does the, if I get the AST type of your, hey, let me go back to the page of the RFC. You have the example empty. So if I'm in the compiler and I do AST underscore type of a reference whose type is empty, like what do I see there in the AST?
You'll see a nominal mod to the definition of the which has the definition of the type as its data field, right. And the annotation is only on the definition.
Right. Yeah. It feels to me like this is the kind of thing that in the compiler should be more along the lines of having a special case of that doesn't work either. I don't know. I think my concerns might be arbitrary, but they
want a keyword.
It feels weird to be tacking things onto the type system with the annotations is kind of where it is at the end of the day. I'd still prefer something like something that did not. I also sensitive to your same concern of not wanting to reserve new keywords and new symbols. I do think that there might be a way for us to mark this in a way that's intuitive using existing keywords and symbols. I think you also kind of mentioned that as something that's problematic where you're just adding the symbol in a new context. That can cause confusion as well. But, I mean, I'm thinking of things like class empty is underscore or class empty or maybe like class exclamation point empty. I don't know. I mean, you're still introducing possible confusion because this is going to be kind of an obscure feature, but in the end, if there's general consensus from the rest of the group that annotation for this is okay, I'm willing to kind of put my concerns aside for it. I don't think it's the end of the world to do it as an annotation. It just kind of it feels a little bit off to me, but I also don't want to stand in the way of this because I think you do have good arguments. There's stuff to be said for it. It still feels off to me, but I'm fine with going along with the annotation route if that's what other people prefer as well.
Yeah, and just to offer a counterpoint on your argument about the AST structure and annotations kind of being tacked on the structure. So in the initial implementation, if I implemented it that way, it was to avoid refactoring every part of the pretty much every part of the compiler which handles ASTs, since if we had added annotations as child nodes, then it would change the order for pretty much every AST node that we use. But we could technically treat annotations as being first last child nodes of the ASTs. So
I think that's not necessarily what would make me feel better. Like, I think it's more along the lines of, I guess another thing that floats around my head here is that annotations feel like they're, I don't know, it comes back to feelings. So I mean, it's a I think I just maybe need to put put those sort of hang-ups aside and be okay with this. Something that I guess we should maybe talk about a little bit as that that kind of comes to my mind while we're talking about this is like some other examples of things that and kind of get a sense of whether we feel those would be like valid annotations. I've been thinking some more about things like user-defined macros, and it's been making me wonder a bit whether those might plug into the annotation system somehow or be invoked by adding annotations to where you could define an annotation as being like an expansion of an existing expression into a different AST expression and then invoke that annotation elsewhere in your code. Is that something that feels out of balance for annotations to you guys, or is that something that feels like it would be a good fit? I'm just kind of curious while we're talking about what should be an annotation and what shouldn't.
Yeah. So this kind of goes into the into what Java does with annotations, kind of.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not too deeply familiar with Java's annotations, so yeah.
Yeah, so you can at one time retrieve classes and instances tagged with some annotation, and there are quite some libraries that make extensive use of that. So it goes into the reflection area a little bit. So that, like one good example for, I don't know if it already exists, but there's could be one for tail recursion. So I want to write a tail recursive function, and I annotate it with as being tail recursive, and this annotation will tell the compiler to throw an error if it isn't, kind of like having a safety net. This is also another example I could pretty much imagine with the existing annotations.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that one too. I think even with the limitation that I had been talking about earlier, I think that still fits in that paradigm. But here's like a here's an example of, so if we forgot about user-defined macros for a second and just thought about, you know, are there common pony patterns that we think we could add as a macro sort of thing as annotations? So like, for example, like let's say that I have one of the common patterns I have is like in an actor, if I have a behavior that wants to return an asynchronous result, the way to do that, obviously, or not obviously, but I wouldn't say it's obvious, but one way to do that is to pass a promise in as an argument and then, you know, fulfill the promise later when the result is obtained. And one common pattern I have for wrapping that is to create a fun tag with a slightly varied name from the behavior. Like let's say the behavior is underscore foo, and then I create a fun tag foo that rather than taking the promise as an argument, it returns the promise. So it creates its own promise and returns it to the caller. Like as a convenience for not having for the caller not having to create the promise themselves. The fun tag would then invoke the behavior, pass the promise into it, and also return the promise. You know, if you do this for five or six behaviors, it ends up being a lot of boilerplate. So, I mean, one thing that I think I could argue, you know, might be, you know, if we do want to say that annotations can go further, one thing I might want to argue for is say, let's have an official annotation for this pattern that says, okay, you annotate your behavior and then, and your behavior has to be private. And then the, compiler will create a public version of that behavior for you as a fun tag that returns the promise. And instead of taking it as an argument, I mean, that's, that is one example of like maybe something that's not doesn't have to be user defined, but like something macro ish that turns out to be a annotation.
Yes. So my only concern about that kind of thing is that in your code you define only the behavior, right?
Yeah, or you could do it the other way around if you want to say that you define the fun tag instead. Or no, I think it should probably be the behavior. But yeah, you would only define one of the two methods, and then the AST would kind of create the other one for you. The annotation would act as a sugar.
Yeah, so my concern with that is that you would then have the syntax in the code. You would call a behavior, but get a return value out of the call syntactically in the code you wrote. So I'm not sure if it is a valid concern, but yeah, I think I'll have to think about it more.
Yeah, I mean, one other example along these lines is like the delegate feature that I think that we removed that one already, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so this is the kind of thing that could be perhaps an annotation that turns out to be sugar. That does something, you know, like the feature that we removed, although hopefully better this time. But kind of along the same lines of doing some code generation of boilerplate for you for common patterns based on annotations. I mean, like if we want to go further with annotations, then like beyond that limit I talked about before, like I that kind of makes me want to go even further with them. Like once this friction that was, you know, blocking me and my perception of them is lifted, like, you know, going even further to, you know, can we generate more AST using annotations as sugar?
So for that one specifically, I think it would be a good fit for the use keyword.
So I'm curious though. Is there a reason why you don't think it should be an annotation?
No, it's not that I don't think it should be. It's that I think that there is an existing keyword that would be a good fit.
Okay.
So I don't think there is a need to, because since I think the primary use case for annotations is to add new add syntax for new logic on existing AST structures like function definition, for example. I think something like a delegate would be kind of a new subsection in a type definition. Like for example, you could say use file field dot method, and it would generate a method that would forward to the method of the field. I think that we kind of would lose the benefit of the annotation here.
Okay. Okay, well, I think we probably talked about that RFC enough, unless anyone else has anything they want to say about it while we're here.
Yeah, I just wanted to like quickly mention that I feel so there's a new thing in the type system. I don't know. Maybe we should also think about giving those types a name. So if we have like X, kind of a singleton type or something like this that isn't anything else, or something like this. Maybe if we can make it I would personally favor having a keyword and some different way of defining it, like somewhat different than defining a, so it's more like a primitive anyhow. Like would you ever want to have a class that isn't anything, or like as I understood, it's just meant for those marker types, right?
I think you could have you could want to store some information in your marker.
Yeah.
I don't have a use case in mind, but I feel like there would be some data structures where you would want to do that. And also just to talk a bit about why I don't feel like a new category of types is appropriate is because currently every category has something different in its representation at runtime. Like for example, classes have a type descriptor, actors have a message queue, primitives have only one instance and are created in static memory, and structs don't have a type descriptor. And that new category would would basically be implemented as a primitive.
Yeah.
Or a class if we want to allow the user to store data in it.
So but the problem that we currently face is having any or none, right? And any union none, for example.
Yeah, and it's when your marker type is a subtype of the constraint of your type parameter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe my thoughts are just a little bit too limit. So the idea of a single type is maybe just too limited to capture all what this RFC is about. Okay, but good discussion.
I still feel like using isn't any as the syntax would be a nice way to represent like this type is not a subtype of anything in the type system. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm fine with the annotation too. So. If it comes to a vote, I will upvote with annotation, but
just to voice my concerns on that, I feel like it kind of reverses the picture. Like instead of saying that I'm not a subtype of anything, so I'm not a subtype of any, having X isn't any feels like I'm saying I'm not of a subtype of any, so I'm not of subtype of anything. And I think the association in the not a subtype of anything to not a subtype of any would be I think it's more easy to grok than I'm not a subtype of any, so I'm not a subtype of anything.
I get that concern. I think that's valid. And I think maybe the main problem with that is using the any type, which is not like a special keyword or anything. It's just an empty interface that anyone could define. What if we use the underscore instead of any? What if we said class empty isn't underscore?
So to me, it feels like having the isn't any or underscore like also suggests I could say class X isn't class Y. You know, like there will be users getting confused about it, I assume. So just
yeah.
Concern.
That's a valid concern.
But I have to admit, I also kind of like it.
I guess the one other option along those lines would be just isn't. This class does not exist in the type system. Okay, anyway. Yeah, I think we can move on to another topic. Does anybody have anything else they want to discuss in particular now that we're past the halfway point?
I have a pull request, but I guess we get there anyway.
Yeah, I have a few to talk about as well. And I think, you know, since Gordon's here, maybe we should talk about LLVM6.
Yay. Yeah, it should be mergeable now.
Okay.
I mean, it still has the workaround in it, so.
Okay. Does anybody have any concerns about merging it now, or can we go ahead and do that? All right. Gordon, do you want to do the honors?
Sure.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Matthias, do you want to jump to your pull request?
Yes. So it's 2645. So Joe did add C, sub C, and mul C functions to I-128 and U-128, and I wrote tests and for it and created the pull request. So, and during this, I got some linker errors saying that some symbol is missing. It's underscore under MULOTRA4, and it seems to be a bug of, or I don't know if it's a bug of LLVM not linking not having the symbol in the linked lib GCC, I guess, or somewhere. So we need to link the compiler RT library or something. Does anyone else have any thoughts if we should avoid it if possible, or if we should just remove the LLVM reference together, the SML with overflow for signed 128 bits?
I'm looking through the thread real quick.
Yeah, I took a look at it earlier, and I found the source code of the missing function in the relevant library. So I'm going to paste the link in chat, and so. Since that function seems to be doing pretty much what you implemented, I think we can simply remove the call to the LLVM intrinsic and just use the manual version.
Oh, okay.
And maybe leave a comment there in the implementation pointing to this LLVM ticket.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh, that's an easy fix. Thank you.
Ha. Boom. Yay.
Yes.
And since they seem to be doing some bitwise stuff in that C function, maybe we could steal that to gain some speed.
Yeah. Okay, then it's not so easy, but I have a look. Cool.
So I had a pull request, 2643. I had added a source loc dot TYP method because I couldn't add a TYPE. And Benoit suggested either using entity or type name, to which I responded, if we use type name, I'd prefer to use, I would prefer to rename the method as method name. But I'd also be okay with using entity. I see that, Benoit says he'd prefer to use type name and method name and be okay with the breakage of changing method to method name. Okay. Gordon agreed on the ticket. Do you have any other thoughts, Matthias?
I don't know how valid it is, but so the source log is kind of a location in the source code. And this thing should, it feels like it should have a method and an entity. So it's like they are part of the location. So and not method name and entities and type name. So it's not that clear this way where they belong. But I think both. So I would prefer entity and entity and method, to be honest.
Can you explain what you mean that it's not quite clear where they belong?
So the location has a method. So it's everything is kind of somewhere in a method. It has and the method is always in some entity. And now we have a location that has. So if I have a location that has an entity and a method, it's more clear to me than having a location that has a method name and. Okay. It's just a first impression thing, feeling. I can go with both. So as we have a 2-1 for type name and method name, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to give my thoughts on that, what I would actually love to have here is, access to some minimal version of the AST, if I could get the method AST and see introspect or reflect, however you want to think of it, about whether I'm in a behavior or whether I'm in a function or things like that. If you wanted to be able to print the full function signature of the function you're in, things like that. I think in an ideal world, this would be able to give you access to even more information about the method and entity that you're within. But as of right now, we don't have that capability, and that's not really, it's not trivial work from where we're at now. So maybe using type name and method name leaves the door open to those being added in the future, able to expect more about the place you're at.
Yeah, and they're kind of more exact as they are names. So, boom.
Yeah, okay. Well, I will make that change and add the change log changed tag to it as well. It's no longer just added, it's also changed. I'll do that and then we can re-review later. The other pull request that I had open was about static binaries, yay, 2635. So I've been I've been using a static binary on Linux, 64-bit, compiled within a Alpine Linux container, and it actually works for me, and I was very surprised about that. So I would like to get this merged in some form, but if people have thoughts about, I don't know if we want to try to add the static flag in for OS X as well, or if Windows has some equivalent we can add for it, because right now, if you give the static flag to the Pony compiler, it'll only make a difference on Linux. Although I did mark it in the options as being experimental, so hopefully nobody's going to be relying on it to be working on all platforms yet.
So could you just add some remarks that it only works on Linux? Maybe experimental, Linux only? And so
that's
we
a good idea.
And we can remove that so that I would feel safer to merge this.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, Windows will take a bit of work.
I'm curious. I don't know. I don't even know where to start on Windows. I could probably try to have an old OS X machine. I could dust off and try to work on it on OS X, but right now I can't even get it to work on Linux on my host. It only works inside a container. So, and that's just because you have to have like all the right static libraries available. And I guess Alpine was sort of built around this idea of like helping people to static link stuff as part of its founding principles. So it ends up having all the static libraries easily available and installed when you use Alpine. But it's not so on other platforms, and it might be kind of hard to support. I don't know what... I don't know what languages are like Go and... I think Rust has static binaries as well, right? You can use... Is that true? Okay. We don't know.
I'm not sure.
So I don't know what they're doing. I looked a little bit into finding out like what Go does to get around some of this stuff. I noticed that Go sometimes has issues with things like libc, and they often, I guess, recommend you to use Alpine for building a static binary, or a fully static binary. I guess like sometimes maybe the Go static binaries are not fully static, from what I was guessing. Like, I didn't get too deep into reading about it, but like sometimes they link against some static binaries and some shared libraries.
So I thought Go doesn't use libc at all, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think I read something about like their standard library networking package and maybe a few others.
Yeah, that could be.
Anyway. I'll add the Linux only remark here, and if anybody else has any other comments about things that they would like to see here before merging, that would be good as well. But I've been doing this workflow on one of my projects so far, and it's working out really well for me, so I'm excited about it.
Cool.
It's really cool to be able to just give somebody a static binary to go run and not tell them to install a bunch of dependencies and have all the right versions of things.
No.
Anything else we want to cover?
I would like to... Yeah. Oh, Matthias, if you...
No. You. I already had one. Now it's your turn.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about 2615, which is the make digest of and hash return new size instead of U64. So last week we said that we wanted to think about whether the big hash function should be 64-bit or 128-bit wide. And after thinking about it after thinking about it. I personally think it should be 64-bit because, as we've seen earlier during this call, and also on other occasions, the 128-bit support isn't really that good, even on 64-bit machines. So I think it should be 64-bit.
Right.
Okay.
So does anybody else have an opinion on that?
I think that sounds good to me. I think if anybody needs 128-bit hash functions, we can talk about it then. But I think starting with, you know, keeping 64-bit around for all platforms and then just having the platform-specific hash as well, I think is a good plan.
No.
Okay, then I'll update the parameters.
So I have another one, and it is 2638. Just a quick one. So my idea is to. So Epic Eric, he created a very, very nice standard lib docs theme for our documentation. And so it now lives, so the existing theme for the new documentation lives under my GitHub user. And the one from Epic Eric lives underneath his. So github.com, Epic Eric, Ponylang, mkdocs theme. So whereas I think it should live underneath the Ponylang org, and it should also be published to the Python package index where it needs to live from our account, which I created. So does anyone have any objections with creating this theme there and allowing Epic Eric and anyone who would want to help out there to give him write access? So basically,
yeah, I think it sounds good to me as long as you know Epic Eric is okay with having. You know, with relinquishing it to the Ponylang organization, you know, like you know the work that he did. I mean, obviously, he would still have write access and could still work on it, but I wouldn't want to do it without his blessing first. I don't know if he already gave that.
Yeah. So he kind of gave that his revote. I can drop my package once the theme is replaced. I would definitely wait for an answer of him, but I would only see it as a move to another organization and have him. So there should no work being discarded or anything. So his version is will be the official one.
Basically. Yep.
So I would need help in creating this repository. So if any one of you could do me the favor or is able to.
Sure.
I would be super happy.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. What should it be named?
Ponylang mkdocs theme. Yeah, there's Ponylang dash mkdocs dash theme.
Okay. Since it's already in the Ponylang org, what do you think about just calling it mkdocs theme?
Yes. Also fine. Yeah.
All right, repo is created. It's completely empty now, so you could push directly from another repository.
Okay. Cool. I will do that.
Oh, did I name it the wrong thing? Hang on, let me change the name. I put an extra dash in there for some reason. There we go.
Cool. Do you have, So there's still a very interesting issue here we have. I don't know if like the few minutes left are worth going over it, as I think it will be a lengthy discussion. There's 2632. The one when multiple signal handlers register, they step on one another.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have been following this one. So Sagoon was discovering how signal handlers work. And they get, like, they, for this, you cannot reliably register signal handlers for two different signals. So, yeah, I don't know if we should spawn this discussion. So it basically boils down to the questions, do we want it to have it that way? What should the actual behavior be? Yeah, so there's a comment from Benoit that basically sums up those questions. And what should signal handlers for fatal signals look like? Should we allow the users to handle them at all?
So I wonder if I wonder what libuv does for this. I'm kind of looking at the libuv docs right now. I'm sympathetic to Benoit's idea about having a list of handlers, and having. I think the implication was, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Benoit, I think the implication was that you'd have a list of events to send for each signal, and then the Pony runtime would send all of those events so that all of your signal handlers that were registered would get an event. To me, that feels like a very practical, pragmatic, convenient way for it to work for the user. If the implementation is reasonable, like if it's not has details that makes it infeasible or unperformant or things like that, I think it would be a good option. Unless I'm missing something about like what an idiomatic signal handler is, because I know that some, you know, there's probably some baggage here about like signal traps being like you know, you trap it for the whole process, so. So I think maybe to some people it would be counterintuitive for more than one signal handler to be invoked. But to me, I think it seems like a nice, convenient way to do it for the language. And also, I think Benoit made a comment that if you can break another signal handler when you register a new one, then that potentially is like a capability security issue that might need to be resolved. And I think maybe it gets resolved better if you if creating more handlers does not bother existing handlers.
Yeah, and the kind of other idea I had for making a capability secure interface and avoiding signals stepping on one another would be instead of having the user manually create their signal handler actor, maybe we could have them being created at the beginning of the program and accessed from the env object passed to the first behavior of the program. But the only issue with that would be with custom signals. Or maybe there is no issue, but we'd have to be careful about how we make that interface.
So, like one question, would having a capability secure interface to signals mean that registering a signal handler would require a capability like some ambient AUF and raising as well?
Yes, that would be probably one implication of it. One way to handle this, I think maybe this is what you're getting at, Benoit, is, but maybe this is a slightly different take on it that doesn't have the problem with other, like, you know, the other signals you mentioned. Like, if we had an actor that was in charge of registering signals, and this actor had a defined way of dealing with the case of multiple handlers being registered, so that, like, your capability, your authorization, your object capability you pass around for registering a signal handler would not just be a primitive like it is in some cases. It would be a reference to this actor. And if you have a reference to this actor, then you can send it a message that, you know, that will tell it, okay, you know, here's the new notify for this signal, and I will register the ASIO event if I need to. Or if I already have an ASIO event, then I will replace it or add it to the list or whatever it is that needs to be done. A possible issue with that would be that it might create a bottleneck where you have, like, if you're relying on signals in your hot path, which I don't know necessarily have a good use case for, but, you know, the signals might have to be passed through that actor, or maybe that actor could fan out to other signal handlers if they could create them. I think that sounds like it could be a good option if we don't want to go with the option of embedding it in the runtime, of allowing a list of ASIO events per, having an actor at the top level that you access through the env, and that actor is the place where we implement the logic for what happens when you add more signal handlers. I think that could be a good option. But yeah, it would require, as Matthias, you were asking about, it would definitely would require having access to the end or some offshoot of it derived from the end.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So why should we move this discussion over to an RFC issue?
We should probably mark this ticket with needs RFC and then have either Benoit or I write up an RFC or somebody else if they want to.
Yeah, and also we should note that there are some implementation issues with the signal handlers. Like, for example, the signal handler for the Apple implementation, which is used on Linux. That signal handler uses what's the function name? It uses event FD write, which is incorrect because that function isn't safe to be used in signal handlers as defined by POSIX. So yeah, there are some implementation issues. I'm not sure if there is the same issue for KQ and IOCP, but I think it would be worth taking a look.
So I removed the discussion about a signal interface to the RFC and maybe track this issue, this one, with another issue ticket.
Yeah, that's true. It's a different problem.
Okay. Okay, I think we are at we took 1 hour by now. Is there anything anybody would like to bring up?
Yes. Is anybody opposed to merging 2642? I think it's blocking the Wallowoo release.
You said 2642?
Yes.
Yeah, I gave it a brief look. I think it looks okay. I'm good to merge it. I'll go ahead and hit the approve button on there to make that official. And then I think, unless anyone else has objections, you can merge it after that.
All right, thank you.
Okay, well, if that's all, then thanks, everyone, and see you next week.
Thank you very much. See ya.
See ya.